On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, the 49ers somehow, some way, get it done again with Mac Jones in overtime. How about it? How about it? I got the Mac jersey on right now. We're repping today. We're repping tonight. Another tough loss for the Rams. Another close loss. After that, Rooski game of the week, Seahawks and Bucks. Can the Bucks bounce back after their loss against Philly, get the job done on the road? And can the Patriots pass their litmus test against the Bills? Can the Chiefs keep the ball rolling against the Jaguars? This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich, and boy, I don't know how they do it, CJ. I don't know how they do it. Sometimes they kick you in the nuts and with a terrible doubleheader Monday Night Football matchups. And all of a sudden, they reel you back in with an overtime classic. Niners coming in.
That's magic of Thursday Night Football, man. Like, what do you want?
I don't know, man. Niners coming in. Having lost to the Jaguars the week prior, short week for both teams. Mac Jones dealing with a PCL sprain. He also hurts his forearm. Matthew Stafford's beat to shit. But by God, these guys freaking battled this one out for almost a full overtime period, for 60 minutes and then almost a full overtime period. And it really just came down to a fourth and one stop that the Niners were able to secure. And the Niners did it again. The Niners did it again with Mac Jones. I don't know if I really want to ask this, but is Mac Jones the guy and is Brock Purdy's job in trouble? I don't want to ask this, but I guess I have to right
but
now.
But you are anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to put this simply. No, you've spoken many times about the backup bump, right?
Yeah.
And Mac Jones, what's his record as a starter? Like 3-0, 4-0 now, maybe?
4-0, yes.
So he's 4-0 as a starter. I feel like this is less about Mac Jones, more about the Niners scheme. And I have said this many a time. Mac Jones fits Kyle Shanahan's system like a glove, because that's what they do. It's a plug-and-play offense, even when they're banged up, even when the receivers aren't the best. You know, they still have Christian McCaffrey. The offensive line is still serviceable. You know, and he's still got Trent Williams and all them. The thing is, he's able to put the right guys in the right place at the right time. That is the hallmark of the Shanahan system. And, yeah, do they have injuries? Obviously, right? And even with McCaffrey, you can still, how do I put this? Like, you can still run a competent offense because Kendrick Bourne turned back the clock. He's not a bum. All right. Let's make something clear. 10 catches, 142 yards. Jake Tonges had a touchdown and seven catches as well. DeMarcus Robinson's rival veteran. You know, you got a Kyle Juszczyk as well. So they don't have the Avengers anymore, but let's not pretend this is the Thunderbolts either, you know what I mean? To make a Marvel reference there. And when you look at Mac Jones and you look at Brock Purdy and Jimmy G before them, that's kind of just how it is, you know? Like, I mean, that's kind of the Shanahan system. You know, you take a quarterback who's not maybe physically gifted, maybe not a runner, doesn't have the longest arm, but can understand a playbook and can be a game manager. And if you can do that, you can thrive in the Shanahan system. And honestly, you asked, is Purdy in trouble? Nah, not after all that money they invested in him.
Yeah.
Not after paying him over $50 million a year. I just don't think it's going to happen.
I can agree with that. Obviously, Purdy's job isn't lost, right? But
I can't imagine.
But Mac Jones did a fantastic. You know, Stafford was pushing the ball down the field. Mac Jones was matching him, basically. And really, at the start of this game, it was really, you know, San Fran came out into the big lead at halftime, and it just felt like it's just another game where the Rams just prove once again they're not going to be one of those top five teams in the conference and battling for a Super Bowl. Then all of a sudden, they just start clawing their way back in the fourth quarter, tie it up. I was like, you know what? Forget what I said. Matt Stafford put on a clinic in that second half. Mm-hmm. But defense stepped up. So I guess like a part of me, I guess, still feels the same way about the Rams that I did like before they had made that comeback to send it to OT. This is another game where you needed to win to take that extra step to show you're going to be in the upper echelon of teams that are competing for a Super Bowl. But this is, what, 3 weeks in a row now, maybe? Or
yeah.
Who did they play last week? Oh, they played the Colts last week. That's two games in the last 3 weeks that you were not able to take that extra step.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that does seem to be the case. And I think there are a few things you could point to for the Rams. One, the rough kicking night. Forget all the blocks, but missing that extra point, on the scoreboard, did it hurt that much? No, especially because the Niners got a field goal on the next drive. But the problem is what it does to your kicker. Is that not the case? We see it all the time. When kickers lose their confidence, they rarely, if ever, get it back. And Blake Corum's fumble single-handedly cost them the game. He doesn't fumble, then that game doesn't even go to overtime. They were lucky to even get the ball back at all. But after that fumble, even if they got the ball back, you knew they weren't going to win. Because that's just a momentum killer, and they never completely reclaimed the momentum outside of that.
Yeah. Either way, 49ers, good bounce back win. Rams, back to the drawing board. All right. Anything else you want to touch on from this game?
One last thing I'll say. Obviously it's early yet, but are the Rams still the best team in the NFC West? Because I'm not going to lie, Seattle's looking pretty good. And
yeah,
the Niners are winning with, as they call him, Michael McCorkle Jones.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to have to be a question you're going to have to ask me again in like 2 weeks.
Hey, we'll circle back.
Yeah, we're going to have to circle back because Seahawks are 3-1 right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
49ers are 3-1. Rams are 3-1.
Yeah.
Or 3-2, excuse me.
3-2, yeah.
Niners are now 4-1. So I think you could make a case that the Rams are probably the third best team in the division right now.
Yeah.
I think you could make that case.
You're better than the Cardinals, but what does that really mean?
Yeah. Nothing much.
Yeah. Interested
to see how they end up playing against the Panthers this week. Wait, is that who they're playing?
Say again?
They're playing the Cardinals, right? No. Carolina's playing Miami.
No. No. Carolina's playing Miami. That's correct.
Hmm.
The Cardinals are playing the Titans, which should be a win.
Hey, you know what? We figured it out earlier today anyways when we recorded it earlier. So they're playing Tennessee, that's who. Yeah, they'll have their way with them. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to kick it to ourselves for NFL game picks, including Ruski Game of the Week. First is going to be that, along with the early afternoon slate. This is Paul Maruski podcast.
May not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. All right. Week 4 of the NFL. And we'll start with our Rooski game of the week. 405, Seahawks and Buccaneers. Wasn't a lot of great matchups this week. Some other ones to, of course, be on the lookout for: Washington, LA, the Chargers, New England, Buffalo, Jacksonville, Kansas City. But we'll get to those later on. Philadelphia, Denver could be good too, but wasn't a lot of fantastic or like matchups that were jumping out and grabbing us by the face, you know, like stuff like that. But this one, I have some high hopes for. You know, it seems, you know, regardless of this depleted O-line that the Buccaneers have, Baker Mayfield has been able to still perform out of his freaking mind. So this game, I feel like, could be 100% a toss-up at this point. Seahawks, I don't know. What's the verdict on the Seahawks at this rate?
This is going to be a cop-out and a half, and I'm sorry in advance, but it really is just too early to tell.
Yeah.
It really is. Like I said, I know it's a cop-out, but you kind of got to bear with me here. It is. Like, it's just like we don't know. It literally is too early to tell. And this is what the kids call a measuring stick game, I think, for Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this team has definitely done its job. Like, Sam Darnold has looked solid. I thought he's looked all right. And Baker Mayfield are both up there in passing yards. Actually, like, pretty much the same. 905 for Darnold, 904 for Baker Mayfield. The only thing about these two is that one has thrown more touchdowns and less interceptions, and that's Baker. Not trying to hamper on what Sam Darnold has done this year so far. It's definitely, it's just not as good as what Baker has done. But not to say that Sam Darnold hasn't played yet. Jason has been solid this year, 402 yards, touchdown. But I just feel like that the run that Baker Mayfield is on is going to just catapult Tampa Bay to this win. And it's going to be tough too, because Seattle's secondary has been solid. So this is, as you mentioned, this is going to be a measuring stick game for Seattle, but I don't think that they're going to get the win in this one. Tampa is going to at least cover, but I got them winning.
This is just a very weird game because, you know, we think of contenders. Seattle might slip your mind because, you know, Mike McDonald's only in his second year. Sam Darnold, you know, part of you still snickers when you hear the name Sam Darnold. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of they're a very young team. And I think that causes them to maybe get overlooked. But at the end of the day, Darnold's been playing extremely well. Jack Smith and Jigbo looks good. You know, Cooper Kupp showing flashes. Kenneth Walker Jr., knock on wood, has been staying healthy. The defense, like the pass rush, is showing signs of life. You know, the defensive backfield is still having their strong performances. So at this point, honestly, I might have to go with Seattle here because it's in Lumen Field. And, you know, we all know this as fans. That is a hellish place to play. It really is. Whether you call it a CenturyLink Field like back in the day or whether you call it Lumen Field, it's still one of, if not the most hostile environments aside of maybe Arrowhead.
I would consider it the most hostile. Or that's not what I was going for. We split up the recording. We're recording this in the morning, and I'm still waking up, I guess. But I meant to say I still consider it CenturyLink over Lumen.
I would
consider Arrowhead more hostile than Lumen, though.
Okay, I mean either or, but you see the problem, though.
Yes, yeah. So
I still think that I don't know. This is just so weird, especially since you would think Tampa, as good as they've been as of late, would probably just cruise to victory. The problem, unfortunately, for them, is that their offensive line is hurt. Gadicke and Wirfs, as we know, are hurt. Malk is hurt. And I think they're missing now a fourth member of their line.
They at one point were missing like everyone, but they're slowly starting to get some guys back. I'm pretty sure Wirfs played last week.
Oh, but yeah, but the thing is, he was still banged up. And it's one of those things where you're playing more so because your team needs you than you actually being healthy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he played like he's banged up. I know you're going to have to play through injuries, but I don't think he was ready. Baker was running for his life that game. You know, the defense continually got in his face. And that lack of a line is going to kill them. I mean, sure, Godwin's coming back, but he's probably going to be rusty. I don't think they're going to have Mike Evans yet for this game. And the Bucs' pass defense has been extremely suspect, combined with the fact that they're going to be in one of the loudest stadiums in the league. I like Seattle with an upset here.
So the Tampa O-line is missing their entire right side with Mach and Gadicke on IR right now. Godwin was back last week. He was a little slow. He only had 3 catches, but you could argue that they brought him back a week too early because he was really designated to come back week 5, but he came back week 4. So now this is like his first legit week, I guess. Yeah. No Mike Evans. I think he's going to be out for another couple weeks. But as you mentioned, the defense for the pass defense for Tampa Bay hasn't been great, and it doesn't help that, like, I'm looking at 8 questionables, 8 Qs next to names right now. So in terms of 5 starters, 3 backups. So could be interesting. All right, let's get into the rest of the slate. Start with the London game. Browns versus Vikings. And the big story out of this, Dylan Gabriel is getting the start against the Vikings. Poor Joe Flacco. He gave it his all. He just had nothing left in him. That's the unfortunate part. But now we got Dylan Gabriel. And of course, you know, the big storyline coming out of it was trying to interview Shedeur Sanders. And you know what? He did the right thing. And as ridiculous as it looked, I don't know if you saw it. He just mouthed at them, right? Yeah, he just mouthed at them. Didn't even say anything. He was just opening his mouth, acting like he was talking, which smart move because, you know, the media is going to try to twist anything and everything possible. It's kind of, I don't know if you've been looking at what's going on in the WNBA, but Caitlin Clark did the same exact thing, even though, like, you know, she's for, like, the whole situation with that, she's for the players, but the media could spin whatever she says into whatever. All right, back to football because we're not a basketball podcast.
but showing
parallels. For this game, I'm choosing the Vikings, not because the Browns suck, but solely because the Vikings have literally been on that side of the pond for now 2 weekends straight. So that's going to be my biggest reasoning for the Vikings getting the win this week.
Yeah, first, like you said, I actually liked what Shedeur Sanders said to them, and a lot of people in the media have still been ripping him apart over this. you know, because like, oh, he's immature. He's, you know, Gabriel. So once again, I've made no bones about it that I think Sanders is a better quarterback than Gabriel. Not because I'm any fan of either. It's just because you may remember the pre-draft process. I hated Gabriel as a prospect. That hasn't changed. And look, if I'm wrong, I'll be able to admit I'm wrong. I want him to prove me wrong. You know, I want him to wow me, but he's got a very weak arm. He's too small and he's too slow. And I was talking to someone about it, a different friend of mine off the show, and he said to me, okay, well, Kyler Murray's small and he still makes plays. Like, yeah, but Murray can scramble.
Yeah.
Gabriel is slow. He runs a 4.8 40, and that's being generous. And when he looked at Oregon, right, I believe over like what, 70% of his passes were within 10 yards, including 25% of them being behind the line. And the Vikings are going to be completely acclimated to that region of the world, you know, that they're going to be there for two straight weeks. And on top of that, you're sending Gabriel with a piss poor O-line into essentially a meat grinder. That is a Brian Flores defense, a defense that features that defensive tackle Redmond, who's sneakily becoming really good. I don't know if you've seen Dallas Turner, Andrew Van Ginkle, if he's healthy, and Jonathan Grenard. And there's someone else I'm missing too. Oh yeah. Javon Hargrave. So yeah, that's not exactly great. I mean, they're throwing him to the fire immediately. And honestly, I just have to go Vikings here.
Yeah. You want to guess what the over-under is?
As far as points. Oh, yes. God.
It's disgusting.
Can't imagine you. It's a lot. It's like, well, all right, let me guess. 37 and a half.
Ooh, so close. 36.
Oh, that's even worse. Oh. Oh, God. Oh,
jeez. It was a good guess. It was a great guess. All right. Indianapolis and Vegas. Indianapolis has a spread at 6.5. You know, after the loss last week or this past week against the Rams, you would think, you know what, this is the time where Colts and Daniel Jones are going to fall off a cliff, essentially, right? And I would say that, but, you know, you look at the Raiders and their O-line is dog. Their defense is all right. They sometimes make plays, but most of the time they don't. They've been getting gashed at least the last couple weeks. I want to take the Colts on this one because I don't see them stopping Jonathan Taylor. And if the Colts are going to be what the Colts look like they should be, then this is going to be the get right game.
Huh. I mean, it should be, but that's the thing with these types of games is that once the other shoe drops, which we all agree it did, I guess the million-dollar question is, then what?
Yeah.
Seriously, then what? Like what's going to happen now? Like, I mean, are they going – I mean, that the mask has slipped a bit because I still don't – you know, put them in that, you know, upper echelon of contenders. So now it's become, are you actually that team? And like you said, this is a get right game and it's in Lucas Oil Stadium. And even if Daniel Jones doesn't have that good of a game, Geno Smith throws like 15 picks a game. And correct me if I'm wrong, he is leading the league in interceptions. I think he's got like 7 of them across
the board. He's got 7, yeah.
So should be the Colts. Give me the Colts.
Yeah. He threw 3 interceptions against the Bears last week. He didn't throw any against the Commies, which for some reason I thought he did, but he threw 3 against the Chargers. So count it up. That's 6-3 games. So not great. As mentioned, Colts defense has been very solid this year. So this it could be potentially ugly for Vegas this week. All right. The toilet bowl of the week, the toilet bowl matchup, the Saints and the Giants. You'd be surprised at what the over-under on this one is, CJ.
So you wait. So which game is this? I want to make sure that I
Saints heard Giants. You. This yeah, is Saints Giants. This is the over under.
Oh great! Oh my god! What's the over under even gonna be?
Think of a number, but go higher.
Okay, is it higher or is it lower than the?
It's higher than the Browns game. I can tell you that much.
The Browns game. Okay, higher than that. 39.5
No. Need you to 41. Go a little bit. 41.5 Yes.
Okay. Yeah. 41.5 Sorry. Yeah.
Saints have this are favored by 1.5 Spencer Rattler is currently part of the 0-10 squad now. That's the thing about the Saints, though. Like, you could tell that there's fight in this team. They're fighting for Kellen Moore, but God, they are bad. Spencer Rattler isn't great. There's nothing about this team that's good. The Giants, I think, are riding a huge high right now with Jackson Dart. And I'm very curious to see how he performs in the Superdome. Give me the Giants.
Yeah. Interesting choice there, Chris, considering the
fact is what I would have said if I didn't like how the Saints at home look when you look at the backup bump. Yeah, the backup bump is severe. It gets you for a game, but that's the problem, is that it usually only gets you a game. And the Saints, almost nobody finishes 0-16 In this case, now it's 0-17 it's very hard to do that. So I think if the Saints are going to win any game this season, it's going to be this game. Give me the Saints. Minus the one or two divisional games that they could win. Yeah. So give me the Saints on this one.
God, this is like you could also say this maybe for the Browns or the Vikings too, but forget the Super Bowl. This is the toilet bowl. You know, we were talking about this off camera. God, what a awful game. And if you're a fan of the Giants or the Saints, I'm sorry. My heart goes out to you guys. I would actually recommend not watching it. But I actually have to go with the Giants. I kind of think it's going to be what happened against the Chargers, where they win, but they win ugly. And I'm sorry. I know they put up 21 against the Chargers, but you cannot convince me that wasn't an ugly game. It was. That felt more. You see, the thing is, Jackson Dart didn't win. He survived. He just stood there as the Chargers shot themselves in the foot, which sometimes, you know, you got to learn how to do that, you know, to just don't do anything where your enemy makes a mistake. And the Saints, I think Spencer Rattler is going to join the 0-11 club. Like, they have fight. They're a plucky team. You know, you call them scrappy or whatever cutesy word you used to call bad teams. But that defensive front with, you know, Brian Burns and Abdul Carter and Thibodeau and old Sexy Dexy himself, as he prefers to be called. I don't know. That's going to put that offense in hell. Give me the Giants.
So I mentioned Spencer Rattler joining the 0-10 club. You want to hear the other quarterbacks that are in the 0-10 club?
Sure.
So most notably, DeShone Kizer, or as at least most recent, because he went 0-16 with the Browns. Derek Carr, he went 0-10 to start his career. He ended up having a very productive career. He had his very solid career. Brody Coyle, he was a third-round pick for the Titans, or for the Titans, Chiefs, and that was it. Stan Gelbaugh, same thing. But he was an experienced quarterback, also started his career with the 0-10 record. Jack Trudeau, Zach Mettenberger, remember him?
Unfortunately.
He never won in his career. The last two on this list ended up becoming Hall of Famers, Troy Aikman and Warren Moon. So you never know. It seems half the bill ended up with solid careers. The other half didn't. So this is a coin flip in terms of this is a coin flip for Spencer Rattler's career, I guess, if you want to call it that. Dallas, New York. Dallas is favored by 2.5. And I would be remiss not to pick the Cowboys this week, to say the least. You know, the Jets wasn't a great game that they had against Miami. They just haven't looked great. I mean, I feel like it's tough to say they haven't looked great, which, yeah, they haven't. But they're in a lot. They've been in some close games. They were brought back down to earth against the Bills. Obviously, Justin Fields sucks. There's nothing great. Like, this defense for Aaron Glenn is just as bad as the defense for Robert Saleh in his first year. So one would have to guess that this is going to be the Cowboys. So that's where I'm going with.
I think the Cowboys are going to roll up into MetLife and just take care of business. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because just the Jets have nothing. Brees Hall still doesn't have a touchdown, if you can believe it.
That is crazy.
At least I think so. You know, like the whole Jets offense is just ground to a halt. And, you know, there was going to be some growing pains. And I feel for Aaron Glenn because when I look at the Jets, right, and I see some of the tape, he's calling the right plays, you know. Like the coverages are right. He's using his blitzes at the perfect time. He's dialing up everything. He's doing what you should do, but it's still not working. He calls the correct coverage, but the personnel screws up. And it gets to a point where look at all these stars they have on defense, or even players that are just good. Like Will McDonald's looking good, Jermaine Johnson, they got Quincy Williams, Sauce Gardner, Chuck Clark, I still think is bad. No, he's not anymore. And Jamien Sherwood as well. They have a different safety who's pretty solid, whose name escapes me. And you have all those players, and your defense is this terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know who's to blame here. But
yeah,
still going with the Cowboys. Because look, no CD Lamb, no problem. You know, just if they hung 40 on the Packers in a super tie, as it's called, then honestly, you should beat the Jets, no problem. But this is the Cowboys. I'm sure they'll find a way to make it a game. But I'm still going with the Cowboys.
The Jets have been through the first 4 weeks, three of them have been one score games. You could make an argument about the Miami game, but Philly and Denver. Let's just let this one marinate for a second, right? Just let it marinate. Not that I think that Philly's going to dog walk Denver, but I think we can all agree that Philly's going to come away with a win in this game. I think so.
Yes, I agree. I am also choosing the Eagles.
And, you know, it's tough because Denver had a good week against Cincinnati, but it's also Cincinnati. That was a get-right game for Denver and getting themselves back into the win column. They're 2-2, but it's not a pretty 2-2. But the offense is finally starting to look like the offense that Bo Nix and the rest of the crew wanted to be. Also, Sean Payne got his first 100-yard rusher as head coach of the Denver Broncos this past week with J.K. Dobbins. But I just don't see them finding a way against Philly this week. Philly's just too good. And unfortunately, when you have Jalen Hurts as the starter, you're more than likely to win. So, yeah, give me Philly.
Honestly, for all the reasons you said, Philly.
Philly, yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I think Bo Nix is also hitting the sophomore slump.
But he's hitting it hard.
Huh?
He's hitting it hard.
Yeah. And like I said, some people last season thought of him as a schedule merchant. And to this day, I do not believe he's beaten a team above 500. So, I mean, hey, you know, eventually it'll come, maybe, but they have to get on track soon. And, you know, I've never been a huge fan of Sean Payton. But for Philly, even with A.J. Brown, because that's, like, obviously been, you know, the talk over at the Link, as their stadium is called. It's all about, oh, A.J. Brown, you know, we're at the will-he-won't-he stage of this. But we all know everything's going to be fine. He's probably not going to get traded. Nothing ever happens.
Nothing ever happens until Micah Parsons gets traded to the Packers.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, true, but how many other times?
No, I know. It's
Yeah, I know. You're being a bit of a character. But at the end of the day, like, come on. Do you really have Denver winning this? I sure don't.
No.
It's going to be Philly, even with all the A.J. Brown drama, even despite the fact they don't look quite like they did last year, you could argue maybe that they're this year's Chiefs in a sense that they're winning these one-score games. You got to wonder, all right, it's going to end eventually. But even still, they're going to beat Denver.
Yeah. Miami, Carolina. Carolina looks like they've given up on life. They haven't looked good. They had the 130-0 beatdown against the Falcons, but when you look at the way that they played against the Patriots, especially the last throw that Bryce Young had, that was the throw of a defeated man. A defeated man. And it's crazy because when you look at Miami, it seems the vibes like it turned up a little bit, which I don't know how, because they were dead in the water after week one, but now they were able to come away with a division win against the Jets, which, yeah, it's the Jets, but division win is always a good win at that point, and that's something to fuel the fire a little bit. No Tyreek Hill, but this, like I said, this Carolina team has shown nothing. Has Miami showed anything? No. But the last 2 weeks, they've shown more fight than they did the first two, or they looked better the last 2 weeks than they did the first two. And I think that they were finally able to turn a new tide and, like I said, get the vibes up a little bit. So I'm going to take the Dolphins on this one.
Yeah, I also have to go up Miami for the sole reason of, is McDaniel going to get canned at some point this season? It is more likely than not. Do I think Tua is the future? No. Do I think the Tyreek injury is going to hurt him? Yeah. But playing the Panthers cures all ills. Just ask New England.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is for Carolina, like you said, they just look dumb with life. The thing is, even though football is technically their job, you know, you still want them to have fun doing it. Plain and simple, Bryce Young isn't having fun anymore.
No.
And it's all in the body language. You know, I was watching him against New England. And, you know, he had a really bad overthrow on a wide-open Tet McMillan. And, you know, usually when a QB does that, you know, they curse themselves, let out a loud F-bomb, go to the bench, you know, pick up the thing and start furiously looking at film, you know, the iPad. But Young, he just looked resigned. He just slumped his shoulders, started moping, and sauntered back to the sideline. You know, didn't want to talk to anyone. He looked like he just wanted to quit. You know, when most quarterbacks make a mistake, they get mad at themselves. He just looks resigned. He's like, yeah, I did it again. I can't do anything right. Like, I don't know. At this point, it might just be a mental thing, because, and I want nothing but the best for this guy, but, oh, it's looking bad.
Yeah. 100%.
So I have to go with Miami for the sole virtue of they're not Carolina. Also, Jalen Waddle has always been, I think he could be a really good wide receiver one. So even if Miami's defense is largely non-existent.
Yeah, this could be the the week to potentially make Jalen Waddle a wide receiver one, see how he plays against J.C. Horn. Houston and Baltimore. Guess who's favored in this game?
Houston. It would have to be.
Yeah, Houston by 1.5.
And understandably so.
In Baltimore. Baltimore's
home. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's in Baltimore. Home field advantage gets canceled out with injuries. Because that's the thing. Injuries. And I do believe they kill home field advantage because we put a post out on the podcast. Lamar Jackson's going to miss this week. Nnamdi Madubuike is out for the year. Marlon Humphrey's going to miss a few weeks. Roquan Smith is probably going to miss even more time than Marlon Humphrey. Ronnie Stanley has an outside chance at playing this game, but he's still, if he's playing, he's going to be playing hurt. And Nate Wiggins was carted off the field with an elbow injury. So usually when you get carted off, that's a sure sign that you're probably done for the year. Kyle Van Noy and Travis Jones might play, but once again, it's like a Stanley thing where if they're playing, they're going to be playing hurt, which at that point, why even bother? Because you're not going to be at 100% and you might actually be more of a hindrance than a help. And they're still going to be without Patrick Ricard, Keaton Mitchell, and Jair Alexander.
I'm pretty sure they've been without Jair Alexander this entire season anyways.
No, but he played week one and he got picked on because stop me if you've heard this one about the Ravens kids. He was playing hurt. So in the grand calculation of this, I don't care that it's in Baltimore. Houston, if you do not win this game, we need to have a really uncomfortable conversation about CJ Stroud. Or D'Amico Ryans, or the offensive line, or whoever. Somebody is going to be chewed out.
Yeah. I mean,
the Texans, like I keep saying this every week, but it's true. They still haven't recaptured that spark from CJ Stroud's rookie year. The offense just still looks off. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm really hoping it's just not that CJ Stroud has been figured out and he has encountered it, but it's all signs are pointing to that.
Yeah, Stroud had a good week last week, 233 on 22 for 28, two tugs. He had a good week last week, but that was against the Titans, and they ended up spanking him 26-0, and it didn't really get ugly until the fourth quarter when they put up 20 in the fourth. So you're really looking for more at that point than just the 20 in the fourth quarter. You're looking for more throughout the game. I don't know if you're going to get more throughout the game against Baltimore, but with all the injuries, it definitely is definitely looks a lot better. That's for sure. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the late afternoon slate and the primetime games. This is Full Moon Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that sixth or seventh spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Full Moon Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting, ECHM Chris. Late afternoon slate. Arizona, Tennessee. Arizona. Just Arizona.
It should be Arizona.
Brian Callahan, I don't think he's going to be the head coach for much longer in Tennessee.
He's probably going to get fired before McDaniel does.
Yeah. He's got, a 3-16 career record right now. It's bad. Bet. Cincinnati, Detroit.
Yeah, I wish this is a game where I just wish Burrow was healthy, but you know the rules, Bengals. No Burrow, no winning. Gimme Detroit. Two easy games.
You want to know what the sad thing is, especially about Burrow being out and probably out for the year?
Yeah.
The Bengals have so many primetime games leading up to the last 2 weeks of the season.
If that's the case, then do you think they could become the second team ever to be flexed out of primetime?
Well, let's look at these primetime games. Well, so this week and next week, Lions Packers, 425, American Game of the Weeks. Then they got Steelers on Thursday night. They won't change that. They definitely won't change the next 2 weeks. Then you move to, Thursday night football against Baltimore. But not just any Thursday night football. It's the night game on Thanksgiving. Let's advance the next week. You got the Bills at 425, America's Game of the Week. And then 2 weeks later, Sunday night football against the Dolphins. You can't get flexed out of Thanksgiving night.
No, you can't.
Your best bet is probably getting flexed out of this Sunday night game against the Dolphins, but I don't think they might flex that depending on how the Dolphins season goes.
Because there was one time, I believe it was a game with New England and someone else that got flexed out of primetime.
Chiefs.
Yeah. And that was like a whole thing. Remember? That became like a whole debate and stuff. And yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but that Bengals Dolphins game needs to get flexed out of primetime. But
yeah. If any game needs to get flexed out, it's that. Like that's the thing about like the Pats Chiefs was that the Chiefs were still in the middle of their Super Bowl runs, right? But like the Pats were ass. Like that was the Bailey Zappi. That was the Bailey Zappi time. Like they were terrible. Whereas in this case, like Dolphins, Bengals, this could be the case of just two teams absolutely sucking and not being in a playoff and playoff contention. So that needs to be fixed. For sure. Do you want to guess what the line is? Detroit's favored, by the way, but what's the spread?
It's a rather. I feel like it might be suspiciously low because all the points are going to be going to Detroit. Give me a 35.5.
No, you're thinking of the over/under.
Oh, boo! Oh, what? Like 9.5?
10.5. Close.
Okay.
Chargers, Commies. Commies are slumping right now. They do get. Pretty sure they're going to get Jaden Daniels back this week, but they haven't looked great.
The thing is, it doesn't matter about Jaden Daniels if the entire team around him is regressing.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing that they had Mariota for the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks. But like you said, the team hasn't looked great, especially when you lose in this slobber knocker against the Falcons when they had just gotten spanked 30-0 and they're future seemed in doubt. So
I gotta go with the Chargers, especially after they self-destructed against the Giants. I got a Herbert bounce back game.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Chargers as well. This is your bounce back game right here. Especially after that loss against the Giants. All right. Sunday night football, the Bills and the Patriots. I'm going to be losing my shit this weekend. I'm going to be losing my shit tonight over the freaking Sox game. And I'm going to be losing my shit on Sunday. And you know what? If the Sox win tonight, then they will most likely probably be playing a playoff game on Sunday as well. So this is going to be double it up. Okay.
Chris, you're going to die from a heart attack.
My mental capacity is at stake
this week. We all are, probably. Yeah,
we all are. But this is a real litmus test for the Patriots, right? Because, you know, last week they spanked the Panthers, and that was kind of their way of separating themselves from the bottom of the pack. But now, where do you fall amongst the rest? Do you fall in that top 15 where you're going to be vying for a playoff spot or that top 8 in the conference? This is the game to do it. Bills are undefeated. Pats are 2-2. This is a chance for the Pats to give the Bills their first loss and insert themselves into this AFC East race. It's in Buffalo.
Hey, you got to remember last year, New England was significantly worse and they took the Bills down to the wire. For me, this is another measuring stick game. As a Pats fan, I don't expect them to win. I know Chris is a Pats fan. You know just as well as I do. New England has had to settle for moral victories against good teams where all the meows say, oh, but you gave the contender a run for their money. You showed you can hang with anyone. It's like, well, I don't want to hang with these teams. I want to beat them. And also, this is something that I've noticed too. Have you noticed that whenever New England beats a good team, you can almost always put an asterisk on it? Like, oh, any team they beat above 500, it's like, oh, well, the starting quarterback was out, or it's an insane weather game, or their entire squad is hurt. Like,
yeah.
Or it's like, oh, or those teams were just paper tigers. But I don't think they're going to win, but I just want them to put the scare into Buffalo. This would be one of those rare times where as a fan, I'd be okay with a moral victory. I'm going to have to go Buffalo here, but I think they're going to make Buffalo sweat.
Yeah. Drake May right now is the most efficient QB on third and fourth down. On third and fourth down by a mile. He's currently got the highest completion percentage, most passing yards, most yards per attempt, tied second most with passing touchdowns, and second highest in passer rating. And when you look at the advanced metrics against all the other quarterbacks are right here. Listeners, I'm making a little circle in the middle. Yeah. Drake May is out here. He's out here. Like, that's the difference. Give me the Patriots! Give me the Pats! This is the type of game that Drake May is going to absolutely feast. Stephon Diggs returning to Buffalo, forget about it. Diggs, give me two scores from him. He hasn't scored a single passing touchdown yet. He's going to get two against Buffalo this week. Give me the Patriots. Is that convincing enough for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously rooting for them, and I think it's going to be a game that's closer than a lot of people think. I saw Buffalo winning, but this is going to be, I think, an ugly game for Buffalo. I think this is going to be the kind of win you don't want, a win that raises questions. Like, sure, you won, but now the media is going to be asking questions. I think that's what it's going to be. And for New England, I think you could lose this, play well, go into next week with your head held high, and just beat the stuffing out of New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Monday Night Football, Jaguars and Chiefs. Looking at this game, these two teams, Jacksonville kind of surprised at 3-1, but, you know, they came off of a win against the Niners where they almost had everyone back and healthy, and they got a good win. They got a good win against a Niners team that, yeah, won. They had probably half their guys back from injury that they had injured. And they're going to compete, especially with some good coaching over there. Jaguars, they've been interesting this year. Still don't really love the usage of Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter. But speaking of which, let's just see what the target share was for them last week. Let's just check it out. Brian Thomas. 7 targets, 5 catches. Travis Hunter, 5 targets, 3 catches. It's better. We'd like to see more because they're supposed to be your top two receivers. Also, I don't know if you've noticed, Travis Hunter, we've kind of haven't really been touching on this since the season started, but Travis Hunter has been more in the offensive role than the defensive role so far to start the season. I don't know if you found that interesting at all, but probably not.
Yeah, let's just get back to the game here.
Huh? Yeah. I'm going to go with the Chiefs because, you know, you look at the win that they had against Baltimore, and I think I said it not best, but it was a good roundabout of the Chiefs from last week against Baltimore is that everyone counted them out, and they pulled themselves right back into the conversation.
The thing, I mean, I guess, but this is, and so it was a good win, and the big headline, as you know, has been, oh, the Chiefs are back. I'm going to need a little more convincing, because congratulations, you wailed on the injured Ravens. Do you want a medal? And I know what they're going to say. Oh, yeah, but they had Lamar for most of the game. My counterpoint. Okay, yeah, they didn't have everybody else. So you beat the Baltimore Lamar, essentially. Like I said, like, oh, yeah, shiver me timbers. Like what do you want from me? Like, you want me to say, oh, good job? Well, I mean, it was, but like, do you want me to say that you beat a completely healthy Ravens team? Well, you didn't. And like I said, I'm going to need to see a little bit more.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
Which is why I'm actually going with the Jags in an upset. The Jags have been one of the scrappier teams in the league. They're definitely an any given Sunday type. In fact, this is my upset of the week because it's in Jacksonville. You know, they're going to have to go to Jacksonville, Florida themselves, you know, fight off all the meth heads, you know, walk their way to the stadium. And, you know, you got the Jags that seem to be figuring something out. Yeah. I mean, Thomas Jr. and Hunter are starting to get a little more involved. Liam Cohen seems to be a pretty good coach. I still think they're far away from being contenders, but the Jags could definitely give the Chiefs a nasty surprise. And even if Kansas City wins, it's a one-score game, then I'm going to have to look at them kind of funny.
Yeah. Does Trevor Lawrence's primetime stats make you feel a little bit better about your choice?
Yeah.
2-2 record, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, 96.3 rating.
Yeah, also his fired up comment, that gives me a little hope.
I like it. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. This just feels like a game that the Chiefs are going to win. Like I said, from their win last week, that's one of those momentum swingers that you need. And I'm curious to see how the Jaguars with this new unit. Obviously, you got Trevor Lawrence, but ultimately, you have a new unit, basically. And how will they play on primetime? I feel like that's going to be the biggest question. And more times than not, the least experienced team on primetime doesn't always come out with a victory. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs on this one.
Yeah.
All right. That is our Week 4 picks. That's all the scheduled content that we have for you today as well. CJ, anything on your mind before we end the show?
No, not really.
Good. I don't want to hear it anyways.
Yeah, Adam's going to yell
at
us. Be another long episode, but if he ain't directing, he doesn't get to control shit.
Yeah. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fumble Rooster Podcast. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We will see you on Tuesday. Over and out.